Good morning, everyone. Morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, we give thanks for this morning. Just to be here, seek your face, start the day first with you, and in the hopes that you'll be part of the rest of our day as well, Lord. We just know that you are first and foremost and our source, Lord. And so, Lord, as we worship, as we pray, as we hear your word, Lord, we just pray that it would touch us, Lord. It would transform us. It would do a sanctifying work in us today, Lord. Invite you, Holy Spirit, to do what you will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to read from Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to read from verses 1 to 6. Okay. Proverbs 24, starting at verse 1. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by the knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Amen. Okay, so this new chapter, the header is Precepts and Warnings, at least in my version of the Bible. And so there's a lot of what you shouldn't do, what you should be wary of. And so at verse 1 and 2, it says, do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them. And so the implication is there's a very natural tendency to be envious of evil men. And not only to be like them, but to pursue them and spend time with them. Why? Because oftentimes, evil men, why we would be drawn to them is because of, I guess, what they have, right? So it would be, they would have maybe in their life, sex, money, power, status. They have these things, right? Because if you are led by your flesh and thus evil, these are the things that you would naturally pursue. The things that would satisfy your flesh. And satisfying your flesh is really the short term. It's just what you want, what you feel. You just want to satisfy. And so don't envy these things or even desire to be with people who are living in this way. And so what is the antidote to this? What is the antidote to envy? Because I talked about, you know, or the flesh. It's actually the future. As in, it's long term. The problem is when we're looking at our flesh, it's short term. We just want to satisfy. I want it now. And so the antidote is long term. It's long term planning. It's thinking about the future, and there is a future. In Proverbs 23:18, it says, surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Makes sense, right? If there's a future, you plan your life, and the things that you pursue are different. In verse 2, it says, part of the reason why you wouldn't also want to be with them is their minds devise violence, and their lips talk of trouble. And so the problem isn't just their pursuit of these things, money, sex, power, status. It's also the way that they go about accomplishing it. And so even as Christians, sometimes we might have the same pursuit, but it's the way that you go about it. And so in this case, it's you do whatever it takes to accomplish it. Lies, manipulation, intimidation, bribes, violence, contention. Because if you're just trying to achieve what you want, well, first, it's very self-centered, but you do whatever it takes to get it done. And so you're not, oftentimes, you don't care about the people around you to get what you want. You just want the end result. Oftentimes, it's money. I remember when I was, this was before I was a Christian, when I was in grade 10, so I was probably about 15 years old, 15, 16 year old, I wanted to make money. And so I started a website that distributed MP3s. This is a long time ago, right? This pre even Napster. If you even know Napster, you're old. But this was even before any sort of distribution. And I used to distribute MP3s. And one of the ways I would, it was because it was hard to find MP3s. So you had to go to all these not common methods to find this type of content. And so I used to, I was trying to make some money. So I tried to find the most lucrative way to have advertisement and make some money. And so the most lucrative sponsor was pornography. And so I basically had all these pornography ads on my website. And after a month, I got a check in the mail for, I think, like $300. And I was like so happy, like, yes. And I think it happened again, maybe for a few months. I was getting like 300, and it would like range. And then finally, I wanted to share this joy. So I told my parents. I was like, or actually, no. What happened was they saw the mail. And the mail was like something like XXX something. And then they're like, Kenny, what is this? And I was like, I have a website and I made this money and it's so easy. I was so happy, but they weren't happy. For whatever reason, well, obviously we know the reason. And they said to me, why are you doing this? And I was like, huh, what do you mean? And they're like, well, is there anything in your life that you don't have? Are we not providing for you? Like, why do you feel you need to do this? And I was kind of like taken aback, a little offended. But as a result of what they said, I stopped. Even looking back, because I was quite rebellious towards my parents, I was like, oh, I actually stopped. It was like such easy money. And then afterwards, I had to get like a real job. And I basically sold, not that much better, but I sold alcohol. Like, I worked at a beer store. But it was legal. I was underage. It was all legal, but it was such hard work. Like, I'm working minimum age, selling to people who just want alcohol, to deal with like people like stealing. It was like not a pleasant job. But what's surprising is I stopped that easy money for this. And I think because even though I wasn't a Christian, I didn't even really think about like, is this right or wrong? It's like, it's just easy and I'm not doing anything illegal. There was something about when my parents confronted me, like, why are you doing this? It's wrong. I think it was, there's something in my soul, right, that just didn't sit right. And so, surprisingly, I stopped. And end of the day is, you know, I saw, compared to other people, and I was like, oh, this is an easy way to make money. right? And that was the temptation of the flesh. In verse 3, it says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Wow. This is kind of profound, right? Because we can, with this kind of illustration, you know, when you build a house, can you just do whatever you want to build it? Can you be like, oh, I feel like, you know, I really love a beautiful view. So I'm going to build this house, and I'm going to start by building the windows first. No, of course not. Because to build a window, what do you need? Walls, right? And in order to build a house and have walls, you need to prepare the foundation. And, you know, there's the parable of the firm foundation on rock or sand. One is firm, one is shaky. And so to build a house, you need to plan it. You need a lot of information and instruction so that when you build a house, it's going to be a solid house, right? You can't just figure it out as you go, and when a problem arises, then you deal with it. If that's how you build a house, you're in trouble. You're going to just spend your whole life fixing the house. Now we're talking about a house which is, in comparison, far simpler and less important than your life. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Do you have a plan as you build your life? Do you have a plan? Are you intentional with your relationships, with your parents, with your children, your spouse, your friends, your brothers and sisters? Are you just, you know, acting and reacting? Just when you feel like it, then you do something with them? Or are you very intentional with what you're doing with them? And so one example would be, I just had a sabbatical. I was 3 weeks with my kids in China, and I was trying to be intentional, and so we didn't bring any iPads for 3 weeks in China. In my flesh, I wouldn't have done that. In my flesh, I was like, oh, let's bring iPads, so then, you know, at the end of the day or when we get back or if there's any commutes, they can be entertained. And then I can be entertained and have my peace of mind. But I didn't do that because I wanted it to be a purposeful trip, do something. And so we didn't bring the iPads. It was amazing. Because what was the result? I mean, this was the point of not. We connected. When there's downtime, we had to deal with each other. So much fighting at the beginning. But by the end, couldn't get enough of each other. And I can say, right now, like every day, and I'm embarrassed to say, it wasn't always like this. I rush home to spend time with my children. And from the time I get home, where I'm just spending time with my family and children nonstop until they're in bed. And even in bed, we're still playing. Luckily, they have no school, right? But even in bed, we're still playing. So it did, and that was the result of my trip into China and not using my iPads. I really enjoy spending time. This is a weird epiphany. I enjoy spending time with my kids and family. And I can't get enough of them. And they're my favorite people. But if I had not been intentional, I don't think this would have happened, and this is not to the extent of how I felt. I know in my head, because, you know, we're very sophisticated and smart. We know what is the right thing to think, but it's actually how I feel. So we need to be intentional. We need to recognize our lives. It's like a house that needs to be built. And so same thing with your jobs and careers. You can't just go in, go out. You have to be intentional
You have to be thoughtful about your career. And a part of us might be, we think, oh, you know, I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to leave it to God. And so I'm just going to, just when things come, then I'll go about it. So the balance, or I wouldn't say the radical middle, is not that you don't do that. It's that you have to be, because, you know, I guess we don't want to be over control and plan every little detail. But the point is, we have to be thoughtful, and we're talking about the wisdom of God. The key is not your own wisdom, it's God's wisdom. And so you need to be thoughtful and prayerful. God, as it comes to, say, like your career and job, what's the plan? How should I go about it? What do you want me to do? And not just not think about it. Not think about it at all and be in full surrender. God wants you to think about it and be in full surrender to Him. And so just, you know, this also goes to your finances as well, right? We need to be thoughtful. And I speak to myself. I don't like to think about my finances. I don't know why. But that's a problem too. I need to think about my finances. How to plan for it, how to budget. It's very unpleasant for me, but I have to. That's what part of being a good steward. And even your spiritual life. Right? How do I grow? Can I just come to EMP or Sunday service mindlessly? As long as I come, I do. Or you have to be very thoughtful, right? Okay. And it says, verse 4, to kind of confirm spending time building a house, understanding is, and by knowledge, the rooms are filled and with all precious and pleasant riches. And so that's what happens, right? When you build. Over time, as you build little by little, little, and sometimes, you know, God just extravagant breakthroughs, that's good too. But you build little by little, and soon your house, your life, is filled with pleasant riches. And I think that's the key, pleasant. If you're not intentional with what you do, your life could fill with an unpleasant riches. Right? If I'm not intentional, say with my kids, before you know it, we have a relationship where no one's talking to each other. And I was actually very convicted by my barber. And actually also Pastor Salmat. He doesn't even know. But I was having a conversation with my barber. And you know, I love my kids, and especially with my daughter, with this like intimate relationship, and everyone's always says, hey, before you know it, she's going to want nothing to do with you. And I'm like, oh, really? Oh, and everyone's saying this. Be prepared. When she's a teenager, she wants nothing to do. And I was talking to my barber, who's also a Christian. His daughter, he has a daughter and son, and she's like working now. And then this came up, and I was like, oh, like, how did you deal with it? Like, is this happened to you? Sounds like you guys are, he's like, oh, that never happened to me. I was like, what? He's like, yeah. And I feel like Pastor Psalm is also like this with Cardia as well. And so he said, yeah, like I've always been intentional, always had like good conversations and pursued that. And as a result, it never stopped. And I was like, oh, maybe the issue isn't the kids, where this relationship suddenly becomes like they're rebellious and they want nothing to do with you. Maybe it's the parents, right? Maybe it's the parents, and we've started like wanting our own time and, you know, don't bother me. So as a result, as they grow up, they adjust to it. And so now I have a different mindset of, oh no, I'm going to, hopefully, like I can continue to build this relationship with them. And so eventually, again, back to this, pleasant riches, right? It'll be, so eventually, we're even say when she's 15, 16, we're still having the, because this is what I've been building and building and building, right? Which is, I want to communicate to them, and right now I feel like I'm
is we enjoy each other. And I've told them, you know, actually, this revelation I'm sharing with you, I shared this with them before, I think one night when I was sleeping, I was like, hey, you know, I think I shared at the dinner table. I was like, you know, you guys are my favorite people to hang out with and spend time with. And of course, my wife's like, duh, as it should be, you know, you're so dumb. But my kids are like, oh, communicating that. And I was intentional to communicate because hopefully they hear it and they are happy about that. And then they will in turn also feel the same way. Okay, moving on, almost done. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. And so again, we're talking about a wise man, knowledge, we're talking about, in our context, it's God's wisdom. But what is it about wisdom and knowledge that makes you powerful, right? You think usually it's physical strength. I think of an athlete, or especially competitors. You know, you can be gifted. They're very gifted physically. Their coordination, their strength, their speed. But what makes a soccer player, a basketball player, a really good player? It's their knowledge. It's in those moments, if they know what to do, and they have the certainty of making those right decisions and react, that's what makes them an effective and strong player. If you don't have that as an athlete, what does it look like? Well, if you've ever seen children play soccer or basketball, what does it look like? They're just running after the ball. They're just reacting. When the ball comes near them, they kick it towards the goal, and then they run towards the ball, and it's mayhem, and it's not very effective. That's what it looks like in our lives if you have no wisdom or knowledge. Life comes, something happens, and you just react and respond. We're just kicking the ball, but it's not effective. And then it says, finally, and for by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. And so this king, or King Solomon, he acknowledges, like, you know, obviously, especially in war, geopolitics, all that, and he did very well to expand his kingdom. But it's not by just himself. It says, in abundance of counselors, there is victory. And so that also shows your humility. It's not just you. It's others. It's wise to tap into the wisdom of other people who are wise. It is a good idea that if you're going through things, good or bad, that you have brothers and sisters to talk to keep you accountable, to give you a perspective. That is wise. So I'd like to invite Jackie. Jackie's on worship. And I think maybe a takeaway, and as we take some time to reflect, is especially on the verse 3, where it says, by wisdom a house is built. Are you being wise with your life and in the different areas of your life? Are you intentional? Do you have a plan? I mean, have you prayed and heard from the Lord? Or are you just going with the flow? And when things happen, you just do your best. That's not wise. That's not how you grow. That's just, you're just trying to make sure that there's no drama or problems. But to grow, to build a house, You need to be wise. You need to plan. You need to be thoughtful. You need to be spend time to think. And that's just how it is. And that's part of also, if it's really unpleasant for you to do that, you don't like to think about the future or think, that's just part of God's desire for us to be a good steward. Unfortunately, not everything we do is what we necessarily enjoy, but if it's what God desires, it's worthwhile. It's purposeful. And so, most likely, we're aware of those areas in our life that maybe we haven't given as much attention and thought to, and we're just kind of avoiding the problem and hoping God will resolve it for us. We're in denial. We're in escape. We're escaping. And so we're like, oh, I don't want to think about it. God, I trust you. God wants us to think about it. And so let's go before the Lord. Let's take this time, and hopefully this is a little nudging for you to actually, those things that have been hard and you haven't been dealing with, just go to God. I think you want me to deal with it. What is your wisdom and plan of the next steps and direction that you would desire for me? Let's go before the Lord.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one we could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none besides you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me. Your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none besides you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
All right, if we could come up. And